Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Four Center podcast feed. I'm Ken Napsack.
And I'm Joseph Scrimshaw.
And we are here for a special edition of the show. We're going to take a closer look at the Bad Batch Season 2 trailer. That's right. On Sunday at Star Wars Celebration Anaheim, the official trailer for the Bad Batch Season 2 dropped. And we're going to dive in, like I said, because Bad Batch, it has its fans. We are among those fans. And it's a passionate group, Joseph, that we learned as we were walking out of the Mando experience into the people leaving the Bad Batch panel. So many exciting people, excited people, and so many people just going, I heard one guy say, I got to represent my Bad Batch. A lot of passion for the show.
Yeah, he was talking about, I don't even know what it was he was going to buy, but he was headed to the show floor of things he was going to buy. I think maybe patches. I don't know if I maybe misheard Bad Batch and Awesome Patch, but he's like, yeah, gotta rep the Bad Batch.
Love that. We love the passion for that. We want to also remind you all that today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/4center. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Get a free book and support the show in the process. All right, Joseph, let's just not delay any further. Let's get into this trailer here. This is being called the official Bad Batch trailer, which its length is like a tease, but it's a full one here. So this
a
is
full tease.
A full tease indeed. And it is, I'm bringing it up here in the background just so I can double check one little detail. And yeah, a minute and 13 seconds. That's the number I was looking at. Minute and 13. That includes like fade ins and outs. It's a quick trailer to be an official trailer, but we're excited to dive in. But first, before we do that, I wanted to ask both of us here, where are we at with this show as we head into a second season? We're big fans, as I said, of the first season, but did this reveal get lost in the celebration shuffle, get it lost in our own shuffle as celebratory Star Wars fans? Joseph, where are you at with Bad Batch?
Yeah, I mean, for where I'm at with this show is I absolutely love it. I adore it. You and I had such a great time breaking down each episode. I think it has this unique vibe where it's telling this big Star Wars story of this time period all through the eyes of the Bad Batch. But it also just has this joy of the Bad Batch are really fun to hang out with. And if there was an episode where they just, you know, got locked in a room and had to have a holo chess competition, you know, I would enjoy that too, because I love spending time with them. So I really like the show from both the sort of who are the characters, who are our viewpoint, just spending quality time with them, and then all the big ideas in the era it's exploring. All that said, I think that there is a reality to the show that is kind of being embraced with its placement in Celebration, that it is, you know, an animated show. It's always hard to make the animated shows as popular with the huge mainstream, right? Yeah. Right now, at least, an animated show is not going to be as big as The Mandalorian or, you know, Obi-Wan Kenobi. And I think putting the panel on Sunday reflects that. Yeah. And I think even for myself, that there's so much to do and we had to pick and choose, right? And we went to The Mandalorian experience because we wouldn't have been able to see it if we went to the Bad Batch panel. So for me, I love the show, but I also accept that it is an animated show, which is always going to be a little bit more of a, I don't know, it's fascinating to me because I think that if you start with season one of The Bad Batch, it's got a great emotional hook with Omega and with these clones trying to figure out who they want to be and with losing their friend Crosshair. There's a lot to absolutely hook in a brand new viewer. But then, honestly, a lot of the storytelling is stuff that is more rewarding if you're a pretty deep Star Wars fan, right? If you're like, that's Gregor, you know, ooh, Zygerians. Oh, the horrific slaving species is back at it. You know, Echo's backstory, you know, being emotionally moved by the death of Kamino instead of saying, like, I vaguely remember those weird neck aliens from one of them prequel movies. It's not going to have the same emotional weight. So I think while the show is really successful at hooking somebody brand new, a lot of its rewards are for people who have been into this, who are willing to go deep.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that at all. And the placement of the panel kind of drives that home. And I think that's what I started to love about this show. And I started from the point of, all right, I kind of like those guys and kind of like those episodes. I like Echo. They're going to get their own spinoff. I don't know. Is this the Tortellis of Cheers or what is this going to be? Or is this Frasier? And it's somewhere in between. And it's its own thing. Because it has a little less pressure on it, which is a realistic view of the animated programs, which is, you know, not us slagging on the shows at all. I think they have their fans, but even Rebels has this life-changing passion for Star Wars fans. Like that is their Star Wars in a lot of ways. We were surrounded by a lot of those people, especially Saturday at the Mando panel, the Ahsoka stuff. And I think Bad Batch could grow into that and has that. And that guy getting those patches is a great example of it. So therefore I think I even like the show more for it kind of having its own little corner of the playground. And rewarding those that want to check in on it. And I think you're right. It's got some great deep cuts that might mean more. But, you know, they put it together in a way that I think if you're brand new, you can kind of get it without a doubt because they have to. That's just what those professionals would do. So, therefore, I going into second season, I am I'm not, you know, I'm going to be more excited for Andor. We're in the season of Kenobi. Man, that's just fulfilling on so many levels. And Bad Batch is this thing where I'm like, cool. Yeah, I'm going to go hang out with my friends in the Bad Batch and we're just going to have some fun. And I think it's a good spot, you know?
Yeah, I think so. I think it makes it feel to me like a continuation of the Clone Wars because, you know, just the way Lucas was financing the Clone Wars, I'm sure the ratings were a big concern. But at the same time, like, you know, I saw this interview with him. I've mentioned a couple times. I'll have to dig it up right before the Clone Wars premiered on a late night talk show where he's, you know, announcing it. And the host is like, so who's it for? And Lucas is like, well, it's kind of for kids. but there's a lot of violence, so I don't know. Yeah. And yeah, it feels like there is an awareness that this is on Disney Plus. It does not need to drive huge numbers by itself, so it can just kind of be its beautiful own weird thing. And that's part of the reason I love it.
Yep. Yeah. This is all under the Disney Lucasfilm banner, of course, and it's got some money behind it, but it strikes me as the band going off and recording its own weird experimental EP. And if you like that, you know, oh, I love when Star Wars released that Bad Batch, supergroup EP over there. So there you go. Loosely tying to music here. Let's dive into the trailer. Again, minute 13 seconds. We're going to break it down, talk about what all this stuff means and what we love and what we like and what we might have questions about. The trailer begins with shots of the Bad Batch and their new armor over dialogue from Sid. She says, "You can buy your freedom." Speaking of cheers, there's Sid. "You can buy your freedom. You can have a future. Isn't that what you're after?" Hunter answers, "We're already free," which I believe is true. But Sid is heard saying, "Clearly, you're not paying attention to what's happening out there." And then we got some images of clone commandos rounding up citizens of the galaxy, people ducking around corners. It's not looking good. So what tone and mission statement do we feel this sets for this season, Joseph?
Oh, I love this. I love this sort of debate between Sid of like, on one hand, Sid is a realist, right? So she's saying like, hey, if what you want is to just go find a quiet corner of the galaxy where the Empire isn't making things too rough and settle down, yeah, you can get a couple big jobs and you can settle down and be free, you know? And I think when Hunter says we're already free, I think he means that they're free to make choices. But I think what's interesting is they still haven't made a choice about what's going on in the galaxy, which is, I think, where we come back to this Sid line of clearly you're not paying attention to what's happening out there. So I think for me, where I go with it is that the first season was a lot about them being, you know, just thrown free of this structure where they are given missions and they do them and that's their existence. And they wrestled a lot with identity. And I think Hunter kind of came to conclusion that, well, the new mission is just keep the family, the squad together and safe. But then that creates this lingering practical question of, if you're just running jobs to survive, what does that make you? There's so much in the first season where people throw nouns out to try to identify Hunter in particular in the rest of the Bad Batch, and Hunter in particular is like, yeah, no, I'm not a bounty hunter. I'm not a soldier for hire. I'm not a mercenary. And people are like, well, yeah, practically you are, because that's what you're doing. And he's just dodging that question. And I think in contrast, we've seen that Omega has this great empathy and a natural desire to help people. I think Echo, who went through horrific trauma and was only spared from it by being actively rescued, keeps pushing to actively help people. And I think that's the thing that makes me so excited about this dialogue, is showing us that the second season is going to continue. That is the big picture through arc of, are they just going to continue to survive, or are they going to make a choice to sort of pivot to being what would end up becoming an early cell of a nascent rebellion?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well said indeed. And this makes a lot of sense. The show's going to grow a little small, start a little smaller and grow bigger and bigger. All of them, Mando, Kenobi, they get a second season. It's going to get bigger. That's just a great template, but it has great power. And even if it's sometimes repeated themes, so this idea that, hey, they fought for themselves, they fought to find themselves. All the things you're saying is right. Of Echo kind of going, hey, what if we look out? And Hunter's not wrong. We're already free. Good for us. But how do you connect to the bigger picture? Whether or not Sid is, you know, who knows where they're pulling this conversation out of. It could just be about, you know, looking around this dingy bar. But it just works so well to frame this season and not just this trailer. This idea that there are others out there, reminds me a lot of Finn's arc. And I think it should. I think that's especially Bad Batch, if you have your Bad Batch fans. And we're going to get to the point, one point I'm excited, that there's going to be Bad Batch generation of, oh, that was my first Star Wars. I don't know. I liked the armor. I was 7 and suddenly, I connected with Omega and there you go. So
yeah,
Moochie broke my heart. So absolutely. I think it's an important place for the show to go, especially with the timeline, which I think has been one of the most rewarding things is, all right, we get the Bad Batch, the turn of the Republic and the Empire. That kind of pulled me in, and they just keep scratching that itch for me just to see how this happened. What is it like on the ground as this is going on? And, you know, overnight, not everyone's on board, clearly, and some people are feeling the pinch of the empire already. And so that being a driving force, that's big stuff. That's big stuff for it. Definitely, yeah, animated gets put in that kid's corner far too much. We know that's not 100% true, especially in Star Wars. So this is a big meaty topic, I think, going into season.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think it is a big, meaty topic that is kind of gently spread throughout the episodes, and each episode will be full of, like, fun and action and comedy and all those great things that Star Wars should have. But I also just, I'm really curious to see how far they will take this idea, because I think we tell a lot of narratives that are about people fighting for freedom. Mm. And I think sometimes the harder narrative to tell is, like, cool, you're free. Mm. Now freedom means choice. Now, what are you going to choose? And that is the much harder question, I think, for all of us in reality. So it's really fun to watch fictional characters go, cool, I've got my freedom. What are you going to do? I don't know, watch TV?
Exactly. I found myself to sit on the couch. Not the case here. Let's talk armor, Joseph. This is one of the big takeaways. I think I was even hearing people mumbling about this walking out, and I'm in a good mumble, just like a new armor. So the Bad Batch is seen on the overlook, and we see the new armor even with Sid, but there's this great shot of them overlooking this beautiful, potentially new planet there. It might be a deep cut Legends planet, or I was even looking at a video that said it might be from one of the Marvel comics in 2015. Whatever it is, it's pretty. It's a pretty planet. And we got the Bad Batch overlooking them. We get a really good look at their new armor. It's pretty much similar to what they're wearing in terms of shape, sizes, and stuff. It's the colors and the feel that's different. I saw described at the panel as more of a kit-bashed armor, like they're making Kenner figures out of scratch in the 70s. And Omega, she's a little older. Time has passed in the series, and she has a helmet. So, Joseph, let's dive into this new look, what it means to us and what it might mean to the characters.
Look, I think if you're four older dudes taking care of a younger person and you have fought for your own freedom and you can now have choices to make, one of the first choices you should make is get the young person a helmet, particularly when you're running around in armor all the time. It's been one of the favorite fan jokes about Bad Batch. Like, get her some armor. Come on, my four clone dads, get her some armor. So very happy for the helmet. I love this is one of the first things. One of the first people I talked to about the trailer is our friend Brian Ward, who we went around with. And that was the first thing he said, is like, they got new armor. It's kit bashed.
Yeah,
there's an excitement about it, because I think it shows evolution. But looking more closely at it, I think a couple things I was fascinated by is it looks like Wrecker, it like has a few less pieces, like he maybe just lost some, you know.
Yeah.
So I think there's that little bit of wear and tear. There are more touches of individualism. I like Hunter's scarf. Like, Hunter always has a bandana and scarves guy. So I'm gonna have a neckerchief at all times, you know?
An action chief.
Yeah, for sure. This is so Hunter. Like, I'll show you. You want to know who I am? I wear a handkerchief at all times. That's who I am. That's my identity. I'm free. But in some ways, I think the colors are what's most interesting to me.
Yeah.
Because it's a little different than what we saw with the clones, where like, during the Clone Wars, where they kind of, you know, they painted or got tattoos to really kind of scream individual, to scream identity. And their colors are unified on the Bad Batch. They're a mix of yellow, orange, and red. They stayed in that part of the color wheel. Nobody wandered over to purple or blue or green. They stayed in yellow, orange, and red, and they're all kind of painted in different spots. So they kind of show this individualism, but they also show that they're unified. So the colors give them this unique but unified look. It's not like they went off into the corner and Tech was like, cool, I'm going to paint, a weird mosaic, and Wrecker's like, I love purple, so I'm going to dye everything purple. Like, they didn't go off into their corners and go nuts, It's unified. And also, I think that having the yellow, orange, and red, but it's just kind of mixed up. They each have different amounts of it in different places. It also has this relationship to the way paint used to be used in clone armor, right? That it indicated command structure and battalion structure. So it's almost like they are like yellow, orange, and red is our kind of response to that.
Yeah, the coming out of a season that is so much about finding themselves, but also being about family and found family and those strong connections, just makes a lot of sense. And I would love, maybe we'll see that. Maybe we'll see a, what colors are we picking? You know, and text like, well, this color, the wheel. But no, I really dig what you're saying. It's more than just a paint job. Like they're selling action figures and they know they can just repaint the models. And yes, I know there's probably going to be some cynics out there going, well, we got to buy the new figures. And guess what? You'll probably buy them because you'll probably fall in love with these outfits too. It just makes a lot of sense from where they're going, from where they came to where they're going is what I should say. I just like it. I just like how it fits in. I like it's a little more brighter. The tones, everything, they looked great. I do love the armor in season one, but you know, they're coming out of a darker period and they have a little bit more light burning inside them. So it just kind of tracks. I think it's a good decision. You're right. They still retain their identity and, you know, not to get too realistic, but I think Omega not having armor last year might have been a weird budget cut. You know, all of us were yelling at the screen, put some armor on her if you want to be a good good protective parrot there. Now she gets a helmet and Wrecker loses, I don't know, a pauldron, you know.
I think he loses a gut plate. Yeah,
gut plate. Or maybe like me, he just had too much to eat at Celebration and can't fit into a gut plate. So it all works. It all tracks. And on Omega's helmet, yeah, it is. It's fun. It's a great addition and it's needed. I'm one of the ones. I think the two things on screen that have bothered me in the fun way over the last couple of years have been, why is no one listening to Carson Teva in Mando and get that girl some armor? and it just makes less sense. And so prayers answered. There we go. Some good prayers have been answered. Some good's happening with Omega's helmet. What do you think here about the time jump too? I'll throw that in there, Joseph, as well. Just that we clearly have some time has passed, not just to redesign the armor, but to maybe continue working for Sid or anything like that. Are you good with that time jump?
Yeah, no, I like it. I think there is something about that great storytelling of we've been at this for a while. We're even more bonded. We're catching up with them, whatever it is, you know, a year later. Mm-hmm. I think letting Omega grow up a little bit gives us this great arc. Who knows how many seasons Bad Batch will run for? I don't know if that's already predetermined. Obviously, you have to plan animation in advance quite a bit. So I kind of I like seeing her age because it makes me feel like there's a place this is headed. And if Omega is really our perspective character, like, you know, the way the Clone Wars are, like Ahsoka grows up is one way to describe the Clone Wars animated series, that I'm cool with that happening here too.
Yeah, no, I like it. And there's so much potential and the clones of it all, the Boba Fett of it all, and bigger questions and everything. But I just don't get a sense that that's needed yet. You know, we're going to take some time and we don't know how long the show goes. And it moves into, you know, clones 2.0 or something, whatever you want to call it. That works for me in a way that I don't think it would have worked for me when the show started. Cause again, I had not a negative view, just all right, Bad Batch it. Cool. And once again, they're continuing to with themes and with the connection to Omega, it's working. And I do want to follow it out for a few seasons now. So each season, she'll add a piece to that armor. All right. So from there, and yes, there's a lot of little images. This is a really good trailer. Really cut together well. Kevin Kiner's music, so good. Grace, my fiance, was
too.
Yeah, different. Well, Grace, my fiance, was passing through. She loves Star Wars. She loves Star Wars music. Loves Johnny Williams. Loves everyone. She's been loving Natalie Holt and Kenobi. She passed by this and goes, who does the music for this? Because she doesn't watch the Clone Wars or Bad Batch. And I was like, oh, it's a guy named Kevin Kiner. She's like, this is great stuff. It sounds industrial, dare I say, Joseph? I don't know. It just sounds real different.
Yeah, no, it's got a little bit of like dance, the beat to it, a dance effect. It reminds me of like when Moby remixed the James Bond theme in the, you know, late 90s.
Yes.
In a great way. And I also think like, it's great that somebody can encounter it and go, wow, this is new and fresh. And at the same time, I feel like it's Filoni and Kevin Kiner saying, we've been experimenting like this since 2008. Now here's a platform where people are paying more attention and discussing things like this, because we are living now in the Star Wars buffet land, where people are comparing different styles of music and wanting some variety.
Yeah.
And I love to watch this trailer and go, this is amazing. It's also the kind of experimentation they've been doing in the Clone Wars since the beginning. So it's great to see it in this heightened place where a lot more people can hear it and appreciate it.
Yeah. I at the risk of just kind of repeating what you said, I love what you're saying, because you go to Filoni in that Disney gallery about the Mando season one, and it's kind of like, hey, man, like, yeah, yeah, we've been doing this. And then you and I doing the Clone Wars report, you forget season one, you're right out of the gate. Rock music coming in, different styles coming in. They've been having fun, and I love kind of seeing them get their, them being Kevin Kiner and anyone on the music team, getting their day in the sun with great trailers like this and the people talking about it. So,
yeah,
there we go. The next big beat we're going to talk about there is we see this, man, I'll tell you, it was a great week for the Senate chamber. From the Andor trailer to this, we see the image of Emperor Palpatine and Mas Amita. We got to throw him in there, rising in the center of the Senate chamber, I should say. And Palpatine says, it's time for the new era, which definitely sounds like Ian McDiarmid. I don't want to totally jump to conclusions there. Whitworth's really good at it. He can trick me sometimes. But did you feel that was McDiarmid?
It sounds McDiarmid-y. I think Whitworth's take is I think I love that in the Clone Wars people do an interpretation of Palpatine. I feel like Whitworth, and I don't mean this as an insult in any way, does an impression of Ian McDiarmid. And so it's quite accurate. So I don't know yet. I'm very, very excited to see.
Yeah, some people just kind of run with it as it's Ian and with good reason. Definitely sounds like as of this recording, we have not, as Joseph said, really did a credit deep dive. So if it isn't him, apologize. If it is, we also apologize for not 100% recognizing it, Ian. But it's a great emperor, whatever that is. Look, we've always said we love the emperor because we love to root against him. He is the great evil at the center of it all, this morality tale. So it's going to excite us, which again, we acknowledge here at Force Center. Want to be clear. It's weird, though. We're always like, yes, Palpatine's here. So there you go. Am I off base with it? Is it just me, Joseph, that I just want the great evil to show up all the time?
No, I mean, this is the thing I love about Palpatine is he is a great moral lesson. He is the Darksider, where in my head canon, something happened to him that he gave into fear. He gave into anger. And he, unlike some of the other characters we've met, is never going to look back. No one is going to get through to him. He is the ultimate Darkside. And then he's extremely fun to watch because the way he's crafted, he's just all these faces of evil. He is the, you know, obstruction and whispering lies of a politician. He is the, you know, manipulating the masses to fear the other. And then he's also a cackling space wizard out of folklore, right? He is a nightmare you'd meet in the woods who would try to cook and eat children, you know, and lightning comes out of his fingers. He embodies Star Wars because he is the dark side in both this very practical real world. What's he doing in the Senate? How is he manipulating politics and the prejudices of people, and he is an evil cackling wizard.
He is, and if you're watching the trailer at all while you're listening to this episode, go to the 27th second and freeze it right there. You've got one of the best Palpatine shots ever. Amazing.
Like just slowly rising his hood so he can see his yellow eyes, and he's got that like, I will mess you up.
Yes, literally the 27th second. I'm going to screenshot this one and try to hang it on a wall. It's a horror movie in itself. So Palpatine is here, which tracks with what Sid's saying, or at least what her dialogue is kind of framing. It's time for the new era. But that's interesting because we're kind of already in the new era. So to me, it's got a little bit of a enough. We got clones running around. We got people still thinking they're part of the Republic. Foot on the gas. We've got to really step it up here. So what's a reaction to this and the significance of having Palpatine driving home that his reign is now, like I said, kicking up a notch, Joseph?
Yeah, I mean, it's great to see that they are going there. You know, I love seeing Mas Amita there because Mas Amita is this fascinating character who tracks through the Clone Wars, you know, all the way, you know, into books with the signing the official, surrender forms of the Empire. So great to see him there. And I hope to see his angry Changrian tongue flap out.
Hola, hola. Yeah.
Exactly. But yeah, I think one of the things I loved the most about the first season of Bad Batch is through the Bad Batch's eyes, we saw the impact and the perception of the Empire on many planets, from, you know, welcoming it to the Empire really cracking down on separatist worlds, to, you know, installing tracking and identification systems on previously free planets. So this immediate things are changing. So if we're a little bit into it, it makes sense to me that we get more clarity of how Palpatine is making this happen. Like, what's his checklist of like, well, first, while everybody's, still cheering about a safe and secure society, we'll make these quick sweeping reforms that look like security and look like, oh, hey, were you a separatist world? Well, unfortunately, we do need to put in a little more security. So now that he's done this initial, you know, swipe and maybe some of those senators who were cheering while Padme was saying, you know, this is how liberty dies with thunderous applause. Maybe those senators who were cheering, maybe some of them are far enough in to go, oh, damn.
Yeah.
And it's too late, right? Yeah. It's too late. So what is phase two of seizing control of everything? And, you know, is this the where, like, the mining begins? You know, and it actually already has with, you know, Ryloth.
Yeah.
But to see how, if this is the next step of the new era, how is he putting his foot on the gas? And I love that we're seeing him in the Senate. We talked about this a little bit with Andor as well. We know from the history of Star Wars that Palpatine feels he needs to keep the Senate intact, but he's obviously not going to stop them from, he's not going to allow the Senate to stop him from doing what he wants. So how does he actually manipulate that? You know, what kind of speeches is he actually making in the Senate? What kind of policies is he implementing? I'm thrilled to see that stuff.
Yeah, it's almost as it's like Emperor's maybe the Imperial Investment Day, where he's rolling out the Phase Two plans. Here we go. We got Sam Raimi to direct this one. But jokes aside, like I'm always, you know, I don't want to over just ramp up my expectations of this being the Palpatine show. But what you're talking about, his relationship to the Senate at this point and where it goes from here, and I'm even thinking of stuff that we've already seen in the Andor trailer with Mon Mothma having to find a different way to fight Bail Organa. Mm-hmm. Even the stuff we've seen in Kenobi, even Freck, duplicitous delivery truck driver from Kenobi, just kind of, well, the order's good. Like, to get to that point and who's buying it and what's Palpatine selling at this point? You kind of touched upon it there and what senators are taking it. And because Omega's seemingly seeing this or around for it and they're aware of it, you know, what that does for their mission, and does it put the foot on the gas for what they've got to do and any debates they might be having as a team. And I'd love to see their relationship to Palpatine. There's a big picture at stake that you and I discussed in here too, but just them going, oh my, we're not playing games here anymore. We can't just go run off. We can't just go, cool, we got our freedom. I'm just intrigued by them seeing it and hearing it.
Yeah, and in particular that does appear to be Omega, and she should have her helmet on if she's anywhere near Sheev Palpatine. But it does appear to be Omega, right? Who is watching that Senate platform rise. Mm-hmm. That's really great, because I'm sure she has some amount of galactic history. I'm sure Tech has made her read Space Wikipedia. But it's one thing for like a senator to be like, well, we were at war, so we gave the Chancellor extra powers, and then the Jedi revolted, and they did this to him, and then he declared it an empire, so now we're going to be safe, and like all of these like steps of logic to get to this point. And then you see that through the youthful eyes of Omega. She just turns a corner like, you all gave power to a wizard. You all gave power to a screaming evil wizard. And like, you know that we've all encountered that, where like we've been through all these steps of logic and it makes perfect sense. But then somebody just walks into the room and like, why are you, you know, pantsless holding a picture of a llama? And you're like, well, I can explain. It was all very logical how I got here. Right. But from the eyes of the person who just walked into the room, we're like, the bleep are you doing? You know,
I really hope you're writing a farce at home right now. And that's one of the scenes you got planned. I love that. And how, Omega, again, being on Kamino, being whatever she went through and Kamino destroyed. You're so right. I want to ask you this, though, thinking here on the fly here. I did watch a couple of videos trying to make sure I got all the Easter eggs down. So thank you, random YouTubers, and your Easter egg videos. Apologize to Alex. I didn't see his. I'll make that up to you, Alex. This shot of him in the Senate chamber, is it just me, or is he like surrounded by like an energy shield? Or it's a different view. And it, to me, if it is an energy shield, is that kind of like, you all have freedom, I need to be safe from you. You're on your own.
There's something going on with that. Yeah, there is some like a shield or like a screen displaying a combat, maybe. Like it is ambiguous to me exactly what's going on. Because it looks like, you kind of see the circular shapes of the Senate pods, but it looks like energy is. It's definitely, I'm okay with not knowing for sure what that is, but it is certainly not just this the straight up Senate as we've seen it before.
Yeah. Yeah. Something a little different. So intriguing. We'll find out. So any final thoughts on Palpatine before we take a break?
Always, but I am going to contain myself.
That's exactly what Palpatine wants. Don't speak out against him. Contain yourself. No, I'm kidding. We're part of the rebellion here at Force Center. All right, we're going to take a quick break on Force Center. Before we do, we always want to remind you, here's an audio book on us if you want to try it out. We are recommending still Brotherhood by Mike Chen. Great book. Some of you might be catching up. There's so many Star Wars books to read, but check out Brotherhood by Mike Chen. Download your free audiobook today on us by going to audibletrial.com/ForceCenter. That, again, is audibletrial.com/ForceCenter. All right, sit down, Palpatine. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back here on ForceCenter.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Welcome back to Force Center, episode 444 of the main show. And Joseph, that just sounds like some kind of clone battalion or a Bad Batch. That's a great number. Great number.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Battalion 444 is flying in to help.
So there we go. There we are diving in. We are taking a look at the Bad Batch official trailer released Sunday at Star Wars Celebration and out and about for you to enjoy. I don't, you know, numbers mean what you want numbers to mean at times, but also numbers don't lie. Ken, that's a weird statement. As the time of this recording, Bad Batch is coming up on, I think it's 5 million views on the Star Wars channel. And like the Andor trailer is coming up on 6 million. That's a good number. I'm really happy for Bad Batch on that number. That's a good one.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I chose definitely a level of, if not popularity, curiosity.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. We're going to go into a series of action shots. This trailer moves real fast. We might skip over a shot here or there. We apologize, but we are treated to action shots of a squadron of lats in battle. We got Bad Batch running on a beach being chased by giant crab-like creatures. And that was part of a exclusive scene they showed at the panel. So we did miss that. But we talked to Alex and Molly Damon and others who were there, and they really liked that scene. And then we got the reveal of Clone Commanders. Specifically, I believe his name is Scorch, if my memory serves. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of cool Star Wars and a lot of cool Star Wars weirdness, Joseph. Any thoughts on this sequence and what jumps out to you?
Yeah, commandos and crabs, that's great stuff. I love that we're keeping it weird. You know, this show, we've talked already a lot about, we like that it is showing the, you know, galactic, socio-political, financial reality of the sudden, you know, tyranny of the Empire. But then also, every once in a while, if you're in Star Wars and you're chilling on a beach, you're going to get attacked by massive crabs. You know, it's just, there's such command of all aspects of Star Wars, and this is a part of it, the cool and the weird. And then, you know, I know people are a huge fan of Clone Commandos. I really enjoyed playing a Clone Commando in Battlefront 2.
Yeah.
Gave me a little bit more connection with them. So I'm happy for people who've been long-term fans of Scorch and long-time fans of the Clone Commandos in general. But I also just really trust this show to let us enjoy their cool armor and their cool combat capabilities and the fact that they're really a force to be reckoned with. But then I also trust this show to deal with, like, well, what is their perspective? You know, if non-commando clones are kind of being phased out, are they being sort of lied to that they're special and they're going to be kept around forever? You know, are they clinging to relevance? Are they at all afraid that they're going to be phased out? Do they care about what happened on Kamino? I'm really interested in going, awesome. And also, what's their perspective?
Yeah, no, that's absolutely. It's a weird time. You know, Project Warmantle, all that stuff to remove the clones. And here you are, elevated in some way, and how does that affect you? Do you feel insulated against what's going on around you? And, you know, we're not suggesting that suddenly we get a spinoff called the Commandos, and we have to go from, you know, in deeper into them, but there's something to wonder about there. And during this sequence, I want to point out, there seems to be one of our first shots of Commander Cody. I say seem because, you know, you have Crosshair there. It's spinning around. A lot of people saying that's Cody as well. Cody shows up again. We're going to talk about him. And in Legends, we were talking with Alex Damon about this Sunday at Celebration. You know, we know in Legends, Cody kind of stays around the Empire, does some training, you know, a little different journey for him, but it seems like they might be picking up some of those kind of pieces. So that's exciting to see there. We're going to get to a little bit more Cody talk, but your thought, do you have any Cody as still part of the Empire thoughts and how it might relate to these Clone Commandos?
Oh, I'm thrilled that he's still part of the Empire, because I think we've had really, really great stories of Rex's journey, the conclusion of the Clone Wars with getting his chip removed, with the interactions between Rex and the Bad Batch to remove, you know, Wrecker's chips and all their chips, that I want another clone that is one of the most well-known clones to have a different perspective, you know?
Yeah.
And I think I'll save some of my other Cody thoughts for when we're talking about it a little bit later, but I don't know. I think it would be fine if we caught up with him and he'd also, Rex had already freed him, and that's fine. But I think he gives us a different perspective.
Yeah, well said. And yeah, I'm serving the Cody dish a little early in the conversation, but I just want to acknowledge that, yeah, he's there. As far as the Clone Commanders, I'm someone who doesn't have a close relationship to like their appearances in the games from that other era, but it is a great design. The only resistance I've ever had is because their helmets and the visors kind of light up. It always struck me as a video game type of construct. So I have a fun relationship with them where I feel like I'm getting to know them for the first time. So I do hope they show up a little bit and we get to experience them so I can experience them.
Yeah, no, I'm kind of fascinated with them because for me personally, aesthetically, they dance right on the edge of Star Wars-y. Like they could slip out of Star Wars into lots of other kinds of properties. Mm-hmm. And that is not a criticism of anybody who really likes them. But for me, it's a fun challenge of like, okay, well, for me, aesthetically, they're right on the edge of, is that Star Wars-y enough? So I like seeing them just plunked into Star Wars and allowing me to accept my aesthetic questioning.
Yeah. Yeah. with you on that. Now, I don't want to, because I don't know the total history of them, and there's so many fans. I don't want to accidentally disrespect any people who love Commandos, but they did kind of pop up for me in an era where all my friends at work were playing the Halo games and all these kind of things, which again, are games I haven't played, but are great games and all that stuff. So no comment on it. But so I think maybe in my Star Wars fandom, lumped them into that time period. Now I get to experience them and, like I said, learn a little bit more about them and join the rest of you in loving Clone Commanders. Moving on a bit here, over more action shots, we hear Echo, I do believe, saying there are others out there who need our help. Hunter's heard answering, we'll take all the allies we can get. This reveals an unknown masked warrior going back to Commander Cody. And then the headline event for this trailer, everyone's pal, Gungi. Oh, yeah, man. Joseph, here, let's start with a bigger question to dive in specifically. The Bad Batch was kind of in the center of some contentious discourse last season for its use of so-called cameos. Don't mean to insult anyone who had that opinion of it. We've taken a deeper dive into what that means. So it looks we've got more familiar names. We've already talked about Cody and now Gungi, new friends on the way. And what do we think the show is trying to say with this? And how are these new additions to the show potentially important? And then we'll specifically talk about Gungi.
Okay, good. I'm going to restrain my Gungi enthusiasm for just a second. As always, we want to be respectful of fans who have different takes and different opinions. So I'm just stating my opinion. I understand fans who want to see more all new characters in Star Wars or want to stay a little bit more laser focused on the stated main characters of Star Wars. And with the, you know, two episodes of Book of Boba Fett featuring not much Boba Fett, this conversation, maybe we'll get even more robust. I just think if you're looking for a show that has mostly new characters or remains entirely laser focused on the stated main cast, I just don't think that's what this show is. Mm-hmm. And I think if you go into the second season expecting that, wanting it's fine, but if you go into the second season expecting that, I think it's like yelling at a pizza for not being a taco. The creators are playing fair. That's what the first season was. Yeah. Whatever you call them, cameos, guest appearances, the Bad Batch taking us on a tour of many facets of the galaxy, and therefore we meet lots of characters who represent those facets. However you describe of it, however you think of it, this, in 1 minute, in 1 minute and 7 seconds, because like 5 seconds of this trailer is the Disney Plus logo at the end, they are screaming at the audience. That's exactly what you're going to get. There are going to be a bunch of other guest appearances. And to me, I really like it because the show is about the Bad Batch. But the Bad Batch is taking us on a tour of the galactic impact of the sudden transition from the Republic to the Empire. And that is why we're meeting all of these characters. They all have a perspective on what just happened and how are we going to move forward.
You could leave the mic on the table and we could walk away from the conversation. Well said. But I agree that the use of the word cameos is often debated. And the titles of the show, the Book of the Boba Fett factor and all that kind of stuff, which we get. But I just always, case-by-case basis, what do we do with these characters when they show up? What do they do to, help the story, inform the story, inform our main characters? And it's the Bad Batch is our viewpoint to the rest of the galaxy. And just, clearly this is what they're using the show to do or what the show is about. So I'm excited. I can understand if it's a roll call of names that like, it's more people I know. And we got a lot of new characters coming in. Omega being new, Sid being new, so many other characters being new. So I do think it's a balance, but I think it's, and it's okay to have that, that recognition pop. Yay. I know that name. I think that's fine. The show doesn't stop there is what we kind of believe, at least. Yeah. I don't want to speak for you, but
Yeah, I wouldn't enjoy it if it just felt like we met a character for no reason. I feel like I'm thrilled to see the character because I love them. But part of the reason that I love characters is because they represent specific ideas or specific cultures or planets or walks of life in Star Wars. So that's a part of what I am cheering for. And again, to be clear, totally respect people's opinion. I just think if you're the kind of fan who's like, I've seen this kind of storytelling that honestly, much of it flows from Filoni. This is his perspective on Star Wars, is that it's all connected. He said that a million times just this weekend. In every recent behind the scenes interview in Vanity Fair and, you know, Disney Gallery, he always says this is the power. It's an interconnected galaxy. So I understand if you're like, ooh, I'm kind of tired of it. But I think they're really, really playing fair that that's what this is.
Yeah, they got brand new worlds around them and are old familiar, maybe Legends worlds, all that kind of good stuff. I think it all works together nicely. We talked about Cody. We can bring up some Cody thoughts here if you want. I'm holding back Gungi. I'm holding them back. It's hard. But more thoughts on Cody?
Yeah, I think he's a really great clone to show us how a clone like Cody is coping with the reality of the Empire, and also just what it feels like to have that chip in. Like with Crosshair, we have the chip, but we also have the within the Bad Batch, he was already the one who was a little bit more removed in distance, right? He took people out from afar in precision shots, and he was cold and cool and calculating even when he was, you know, just doing his mission. So he's got this life where he's kind of like he's got the chip, he's got the push-pull between his family, but he's also kind of clinging to something that's safe. The Empire still gives him missions, and he just, you know, coolly does this from afar. Cody worked with, you know, the great Jedi Master Obi-Wan Kenobi. They had each other's backs. He picked up, you know, his commander, his general, and his friend's lightsaber and handed it back. And they bantered back and forth about, you know, like, the goal is to leave, you know, some things for you clones to still, you know, fight. And even the last thing Obi-Wan says to him of like, come on, we've got a battle to win. And then that flip is just switched. And is Cody sitting there like the whole time just seething at Obi-Wan? Does he feel guilty that Obi-Wan might live? Does he feel secretly kind of okay that Obi-Wan might live? Or does every time he think of Obi-Wan, he just has a flash of like, I need to finish what I started.
Yeah.
Because of his specific relationship with Obi-Wan, I'm really interested in Cody.
Yeah. The Kenobi of it all. Right. And then to think that at this point, Kenobi is probably just getting his job at the old meat cutting factory or something like that. Decades, planets away. I think as we see how the Empire affects different characters across the galaxy, and there's some who might rip off their insignia and say, no, from the beginning, and others, that the water is boiling and they're going to feel it differently. I think of Panaka, right? And where he is and what he gets to, and how he almost kind of never realizes how he's let this slip in. And so I'd love to see Cody have a little bit of that. If we're going to see some kind of turn, you know, I want to explore a little bit of a different kind of turn of truly a good soldier who follows orders. And that order had me firing on a Jedi I absolutely loved. And how do I analyze that? And what is the chip? And what was just me just going with the flow? I'm not saying that this is exactly what they're going to do, but I'm more intrigued by this section of him with the mask off, the helmet off, knife out, scar on, you know, that's him, that's Cody, and that's his face, that's his eyes. And now we get to see him, what he's looking at. I love that angle.
Yeah, and it's just a great shot with the scar and the knife out, and, you know, he's clearly got intent, but what is it?
What is it? So that goes to the main event. I mean, truly, the main event. There was the Ahsoka footage at the Mando Plus panel, where the talk of it was Professor Hwang, right? Like, least amongst us uber Star Wars nerds. But this Gungi from the same gathering arc, I mean, you just heard the buzz come. I mean, I'm not kidding, folks. We walked out of the Mando experience just as, oh no, the doors are opening to the Bad Batch panel and thousands of people pouring out. And you could just hear Gungi, 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 Gungi. It just was floating around like hearing Vin Scully over the radio at Dodger Stadium back in the day. Or wherever you heard Vin's voice. Gungi was everywhere, Joseph. And that got us really excited. You're excited about Gungi. Walk me through.
Yes, justice for the Gathering Arc. Not that anybody I think that I know of was ever down on the Gathering Arc, but it is one of my very favorite arcs in the Clone Wars. I always love more insights into Jedi tradition and Jedi life, and to learn so much about this is how they go to get their crystals. This is what they go through. And then this great coming of age story of all of these different younglings having to face their fears. Absolutely love it. Thrilled for Hyang and what he means went on about that when we talked about the Ahsoka trailer. But Gungi has just been, he's been such a fan favorite because like he's like, we're talking going back to, look, the credits roll on Return of the Jedi and you can turn to your buddy in 1983 and go, hey, do you think a Wookiee's ever been a Jedi? Hell, after, you know, A New Hope, before it was even called A New Hope, I'm sure, you know, people in bell bottoms.
Yes, yes.
Driving Volkswagen Beetles. We're like, do you think a Wookiee's ever been a Jedi? Gungi has a little bit of that power. And then he's just so likable in that arc. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think one of the first appearances I did with you on old Jedi Alliance show, I believe that was one of the things I talked to your co-host Maude Garrett about, is I hope Gungi's okay.
Yeah.
People have been saying, I hope Gungi's okay. Somebody probably has a tattoo that says, I hope Gungi's okay. So I'm just thrilled for the character because he represents a lot. To me, he is a fun, interesting character who can show us how younglings are surviving and processing the immediate trauma of Order 66. We've seen so many traumatic scenes of Order 66, but to see Gungi survive, and who else did he survive with, is a really, really great insight. Seeing the learning more maybe about the immediate enslavement of Kashyyyk through him. I know people are going to go to, did Gungi rescue Grogu? We'll, I'm sure, address that. But then also I'm thrilled to see any Jedi with a lightsaber, because as the Bad Batch is touring the galaxy, seeing how this sudden change to the Empire affected lots of people, one of the big groups that it's great to see them check in with and learn from is Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
And Gungi's a great choice for a Jedi they encounter to show us what they're going through right this moment.
Yeah. Gosh, you just put me in this fan fiction mindset of what if in the shot behind Gungi is an animated Grogu 20 years younger. Yeah, I love what you're saying about this and the excitement for this character. And I love Gungi as well. I love that whole arc. The Gathering arc is spectacular. In fact, I want to point out the next shot right after the Gungi shot, about the 46th second, is what some people are saying looks like, what's his name? Pietro, right? Pietro?
Pietro, yeah, I think.
Some saying it's not a far leap to think that even the next character is him, but in that shot, in that trailer, but it hasn't been discussed as much because, again, Gungi. One of the things I just love on a like almost surface level is for years we grew up with and dealt with this idea of, oh, did you like that Jedi character? They're dead now, right? Just, or, oh, do you like that new character, Ahsoka? She's got to be dead now. That happens a lot. And it's still, I still might run up against that in my own brain sometimes. In Star Wars Rebels, it was, oh, well, Ezra's got to be dead. Kanan's got to be dead. And one out of two predictions ain't bad. So there's, I just always had this little relief that, you know what? It was a horrible, traumatic time. At least someone got out. At least a bunch of them are out there roaming the galaxy. It makes more sense to me than it ever has been done before. You and I discussed this on the Kenobi Report, talking about Quinlan Voss. And we did have that era where you kind of grew up thinking Obi-Wan and Luke were it. And that made a lot of sense at the time. And who knows, you know, exactly what George was intending, but he's always kind of had these thoughts of just makes some sense. So anyways, it just makes me happy to know that Gungi is alive.
Yeah, and I think it is, you know, Filoni always, you know, and I know a bunch of other people are involved in this. I don't want to give just master credit to Filoni because he's not the active day-to-day showrunner. It's Jennifer Corbett. But I think he seems to tell the story that he believes in, but then he's also aware of, you know, the fan favorites, and Gungi is, you know, such a fan favorite. Yeah. Petro, not Pietro.
Petro.
I Googled it to make sure. Petro.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank and you. Then the others, Katooni, Kanoti, and Zat.
There you go. Katooni, yeah, and that's the one Hondo named a ship after, right? I can answer that trivia question. Right? Okay.
Yeah, so maybe that's it. Maybe Gungi is the personal bodyguard of Hondo.
I mean, Hondo watch is strong, especially around these parts here at Ford Center. So, yeah, well said. Any final thoughts on just Gungi and the excitement of maybe getting a new Gungi figure at some point, the Bad Batch Gungi?
Oh. I mean, the other thing is, like, I think maybe this gives us some hope to getting his lightsaber in different toy forms. That great lightsaber made of the wood of Kashyyyk on the hilt. So great.
Yeah, absolutely. From there, we will force this over. We're not done with Gungi, though. We move on here to this fast-paced trailer goes through another series of high intensity. I mean, talk about faster, more intense, high intensity action shots, including, but not limited to, speeders/ ships racing through a tunnel. Man, that just has Star Wars racing energy to it. Absolutely love that. Omega tumbling and somersaulting to a perfect firing of her energy bow at these crabs. A flamethrower being used on battle droids. Oh my gosh. Rampart, yeah. He's back. He's firing. Gungi igniting his blade. Another Wookiee. We're trying to figure out exactly who that Wookiee might be. Another Wookiee in action, which maybe that means we could be going to Kashyyyk and dealing with some of the stuff that's going on there. And more. And I do mean more. Joseph, what jumps out at you from this montage?
Well, I wanted to ask you what you thought about that racing scene. That looks like not just like we were speeding down a street. That looks like an actual like racing track, like a sporting racing track. Did you feel the same way?
It really does. No, it absolutely does. And I think it has some again, shout out to some. I don't even remember who I was watching. Apologies. I want to shout out the right channels, but I was just watching some stuff. It might track to an older racing game, Star Wars racing game from the mid 2000s. Something like that, just at least the track, not necessarily the vehicles, but yeah, 100%. And you know, I think even in the crab, didn't see the crab scene in the panel. So those who did might be correcting us even now as we speak, but even in the crab scene where they're running, they've got like a big chest or a case, right? So it's like, I still see the Bad Batch. These big themes we're talking about are going to be there, but also I think we're going to have week to week things they got to do. And I like that. That's the serial venture of it for me.
Yeah, no, I think they're still pulling heists to keep themselves eating, you know?
You got to eat. You got to eat some of the, what's the Wrecker treat that he loves so much?
Yeah, I can't remember. Space popcorn, but I'm forgetting the actual name of it.
Space Bunch of Munch is what I think I remember calling it in my brain. So anyways, yeah, in terms of this being a race, I absolutely love that. Absolutely love that. And does it mean one day we'll get it in video game form again? Maybe, and I'll be excited. So there you go. All right.
Yeah, I would love a Bad Batch video game. In terms of other things in this montage, battle droids still being in action is fun. You know, it's great to see the battle droids. It's very interesting to think of, like, who is running them? Because old Sidious was quite clear that Anakin, or rather Vader, should shut down all of the battle droids. So who's got them and why is really interesting to me. Or
mm-hmm. Who's got them and why? Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Or maybe this is really, going to be an opportunity to really focus on the torture those polar droids went through. Maybe they're just like, maybe all of their leaders are gone and they're just like in a warehouse somewhere going, what do we do?
Yeah. Is the war over? I didn't get my promotion. Yeah.
I'm happy to see Rampart see that he's still in play. I feel like they were kind of setting him up to be, you know, from the Imperials, a little bit of their main antagonist. So seeing him continue is great. Thrilled by the other Wookiee. I was Googling a little bit of the Wookiee who appears in Rebels, Wolf Waro. Both have a silver band as a place on their arm. Wolf Waro is basically nude in Rebels, which is funny because I looked up an action figure of him and it's like a 2-pack of naked Wookiees. But it makes sense that they have been stripped of stuff. I think I'm excited to see the Wookiee because I think it is going to tie into Gungi and the state of Kashyyyk.
Yeah. Yeah. And we get every once in a while kind of check back in with Kashyyyk. I'm thinking of Wendig's Empire's End run, an Aftermath run that I really like some stuff there with Han and Chewie. But during this time, I think it's important to go back to Kashyyyk. I really do. It's an important planet, important. Wookiees are important to us, and they're not in a good state right now. So what can we do with it? What can we learn from that? I'd be excited to go back.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm super excited for the Wookiees, and yeah, just it's great to just see so many different characters. Omega tumbling and somersaulting, and just, you know, especially if that crab scene is like, you know, probably from the first episode. I'm gonna guess, and it's great to just see, like, yep, she's been training. This is her weapon of choice, and she's getting a lot sharper with all these clone dads to teach her.
Yeah, I absolutely love that there. From there, we get a shot. And I had to kind of remind myself the chance for Rex is strong, and we do have what appears to be Rex in the trailer. And I would say appears to be. I just want to hedge my bets just in case it's Tex, a new clone we're meeting. But it looks like Captain Rex, and Captain Rex is the one saying, let's get to work. Oh, that's a great trailer line, Joe, so let's get to work. But what work do we want the Bad Batch to do this season? Let's tie it all together. What do we think they might be doing? And now Rex, here at the dinner table.
Yeah, I mean, I think that what the trailer is saying is, like, there might still be some tension back and forth, but that they're going to be – doing a little bit more mercy missions, you know? So maybe like 1 week we'll be like, look, we need to resupply. We need money. We're taking this heist. We're not going to do anything that we think is, you know, immoral. But then we're hearing this patch of Wookiees really need help, you know? Mm-hmm. And go and do that. And then, you know, I think something will emerge to be, you know, I think maybe the spine of that first season was, can they get through to Crosshair? And the answer was nope.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's still a dangling thread. And I'm really excited to see what will emerge as like kind of their main challenge of this season. Individual stuff that I'd be excited for is giving Echo a little more focus. I think a lot of fans felt like that was the maybe a weak spot of the first season. Maybe it's just that they knew they were going to give him more of a focus in the second season. But I think giving a little bit more focus to Echo and, you know, we can, having watched this story, know, oh, yes, well, having been through massive trauma and being rescued makes a lot of sense that Echo would be like, we should rescue people. But I wouldn't mind an episode that makes that a little bit more explicit and shares that story from Echo's perspective.
Absolutely. We are Team Echo here and absolutely behind you on that idea and having him maybe be, you know, real strong about it. I'm not saying I want the rest of the team, especially my beloved Wrecker, to be wishy-washy on helping others, but I'd love to see a little bit more growth and move the stories forward and Echo driving that, if that's what ends up happening, would absolutely be something that I think I would enjoy and learn a lot from.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm still excited to see Omega meet Boba Fett. Because that has been set up, if they have this strange sibling relationship, and that has frankly only become far more interesting to me since the Book of Boba Fett show, which was really about how Boba Fett really never found any other family outside of his father. It makes it really interesting. What if he meets Omega and has the possibility of family, but he's still in that place of anger, and like the only way to give myself identity is to be the baddest bounty hunter in the galaxy like my dad, and I'm going to turn away from Omega, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that since so much of the Bad Batch has really been like, we've left these dangling threads of the Clone Wars. Some were picked up in Rebels. One of the dangling threads is, let's just get that kid in his father's armor. Let's get Boba Fett into the armor. I'd be very happy for that. I also want to continue Hondo Watch.
Yes, yes.
And I would like to see Hondo eating. What I looked up was Mantel Mix. Ord Mantel Mix.
There you go.
That was Mantel the name. Mix. That
not,
was
the not name. Space Bunch of Crunch. Okay. Okay.
Fair. I think I kind of think your name is better. But here's my final hope for the second season, Ken. And this is, I want to embrace what the show is, which is, I am hoping for at least one arc where the Bad Batch aren't the main characters. As long as it's well done and as long as it supports the narrative thread. You know, I loved that the Clone Wars had its main characters, but was an anthology. And you didn't know 1 week you're going to suddenly tune in and just like, we're mostly following a Jedi named I'm going to die, you know?
Yeah.
I'm going to die. As long as it still supports the big picture theme and Bad Batch are tied into it in some way, I would be happy with some episodes like the one we had that focused on Hera.
No, and I get some of the debate around it. I'm making fun a little of the title debate, so I understand it. I understand it, especially if you're really invested in the Bad Batch. But I do want to see this show continue to really explore all corners of the galaxy that it wants to explore during this time, because it's an interesting time for me. It's the start of all this horribleness going around. So I agree with you there. Wonderful thoughts there. Yeah, for me, going into season two, and especially going to talk about it here, I'm really excited, but I'm really excited to experience the show a little differently, where even for myself, I felt a little bit of pressure on Bad Batch season one, because it was by itself, right? It was standing there kind of in this time period where, you know, you're waiting for more Mando or Boba Fett. You got the Kenobi show on the horizon, all these other things we're talking about, and there's Bad Batch. And so therefore I watched every week wanting a lot from it. And I got a lot from it. I was really satisfied. We really love the show and champion it here. But this season, there's so many other things going on. Even during this time, we got the Tales of the Jedi stuff, which are smaller and shorter. And we're not going to spend a whole lot of actual time with that show. But it's Bad Batch is surrounded by friends now. It's almost like it's worked at the show. It found its own identity. Now it is not alone. And there's so many other things to enjoy. And therefore, I think there's going to be even less pressure on me personally as a fan to pull everything out of it. I'm just going to enjoy the adventures week to week. And I'm excited for that.
Yeah, depending on what they mean by fall, it could be that we're watching an episode of Cassian and an episode of Bad Batch, you know, in the same week. And it really does let Bad Batch be hopefully very popular. I hope it's extremely popular. And I hope there's a whole Bad Batch generation. Mm-hmm. But it's also just like, here's a weird little corner of Star Wars where we can all just cheer for a Wookiee Jedi who survived a trauma.
yeah.
You know, and go in deep on some of the, you know, returning characters and all that stuff and just spend time with the Bad Batch. Great.
I love that. All right. We've said a lot of final thoughts. But any final thought here, Joseph, as we wrap up this conversation?
No, my final thought is just I really love what this show is, and I love that the trailer for the second season is real explicit about it continuing that it's a big serialized story about the early era of the Empire, and at the same time it's a comfy show where you just show up and you listen to Tech say something funny and Wrecker hit his head and Omega grow up a little bit and you have a great time with your friends.
Great time with your friends. Learn and grow and have fun with your friends. That is a perfect final thought. We are out of here today. Thank you all for listening, letting us continue this trailer madness. We took a longer look at Andor on the last time out. Now we got Bad Batch here, and you know, I'm sure more trailers on the way. We do love trailers and what they might mean for the show, but let's wait to see what the show actually says to us here. Thanks for listening, everybody. You can find us on Twitter at Force Center Pod, or on Instagram and YouTube as well. Facebook page is Force Center Podcast. We're available on a lot of spots, including Acast, iHeartRadio, and Apple Podcasts. If you're on Apple Podcasts or any of these things that have a rate and review system, we'd appreciate it if you take a second or five and just write us a review and rate us so we can help grow the show. Merch is available at tpublic.com/user/ForceCenter, and patreon.com/ForceCenter is where you can support us directly if you choose. From there, you can get into our Discord server where we have a daily wonderful, warm conversation about Star Wars with Force Center friends. You can find me at Catnapsock or go to my website, catnapsock.com, for all the things I do, including my music show, Pop Rock and Radio on Mixcloud. A lot of Force Center listeners pop over there every now and then, and I love to see it there. Joseph, where can they find you?
Yeah, you can find me on all of the social media. Twitter, Instagram, TikTok is at Joseph Scrimshaw. I made my first TikTok video about some of the action figures that I picked up at Celebration. I was celebrating battle-damaged Anakin, which is an understatement, from the Revenge of the Sith. I got a lot more fun things to share, so if you're interested in that, check me out on social media. You can also go to my website, josephscrimshaw.com, and get links to lots of other things, including my podcast, Obsessed. Recently, I think my wife and I have discussed some things that I think Star Wars fans might be interested in. Doctor Strange, a trip to Disneyland with lots of Star Wars in it. So if you're curious, you can check out Obsessed with a link on my website, josephscrimshaw.com.
And it's an older episode, but it checks out. If you're a fan of the Kids in the Hall, or you're just discovering them because of the reboot, Joseph's got a great interview with Dave Foley about UFOs and a lot more. Check it out. It's one of my favorite podcast episodes out there. So check out Obsessed, you Kids in the Hall fans. All right, that's it for now. For the Bad Batch, for Omega's helmet and those Palpatine evil eyes. We'll see you next time. This was Force Center.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.